与提摩太凯勒交锋第三讲 Engaging with Keller The fourth essay 第四篇文章 The Church's Mission Sent to do justice in the world 教会的使命是否被差进去世界行公义呢 It's by Dr. Peter J. Naylor 是由 Naylor N-A-Y-L-O-R 博士写的 Founding Minister of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Cardiff 是威尔士的Cardiff, C-A-R-D-I-F-F, 以马内利长老会的创堂的牧师。Dr. Naylor's essay focuses on Dr. Keller's teaching on the mission of the church. Naylor 博士的论文专注于凯勒博士讲到教会的使命所教导的。Keller's main thesis is that 凯勒的主要的论点是 The churchhas a twofold mission in this world. 教会在世界里有一个双重的使命。One, to preach the gospel. 第一，宣讲福音。And two, to do justice. 二，行公义 which involves social and cultural transformation and renewal. 行公义就牵涉到社会和文化的转变和更新。Dr. Naylor believes that there are several principles that should be considered in determining the mission of the church. Naylor 博士认为，要决定教会的使命是什么呢？要考虑到几个原则。Naylor 说 ,As we consider the church's mission, we must bear these five principles in mind. 当我们考虑教会的使命，我们要注意到五个原则。Number one, 第一个原则。The church cannot act without a mandate from God. 教会若没有上帝的命令或者差遣是不能够做出行动的。Two, 第二个原则。The God-given boundaries between the three spheres of family, nation, and church must be respected.上帝所定的家庭、国家和教会的三个范围之间的界限需要被尊重。Number three, 第三个原则。The distinction between the body and its members must be carefully observed. 我们应该观察到基督的身体的整体和个别的肢体之间的区别。第四 ,Number four, 第四个原则。The distinction between the office bearers and the members must be respected. 认知的就是长老、牧师等等和会友之间的区别也必须受到尊重。Number five, 第五个原则。Jesus' commission from his father was unique. 耶稣基督从父所领受的差遣是独特的 and the church cannot assume that Jesus' commission is its own mission. 教会不可以假设耶稣所受托的就是他教会所受托的。Given those principles, 既然 Naylor 博士列出这五个原则 Dr. Naylor considers whether the church is called as a body to work for social and cultural transformation.他就考虑究竟教会作为一个整体一个身体是否受到上帝的呼召为社会和文化的转变来努力。He distinguishes between what individual Christians might have as a calling and what the formal mission of the church is. 他区分出个别的基督徒可能所有的所领受的呼召和教会正式的使命是什么。Any Christian as a citizen of a country is free to pursue social and political change. 作为一个国家的国民，任何一位基督徒都有自由去寻求社会和政治的转变的。Dr. Naylor also points out, Naylor 博士也指出 No one is suggesting that the church is not to do justice at all. 没有人在说教会不要做任何的行公义的事。That is a straw man. 那个是稻草人。The church's elders and deacons serve the interests of justice and mercy. 教会的长老们和执事们就是为了公义和怜悯努力的。After considering several scriptures that Dr. Keller uses to support his teaching on the mission of the church, Dr. Naylor concludes. 当 Naylor 博士考虑到凯勒博士提出的几段的经文来支持他的教会使命论之后呢，做出这样的一个结论。Naylor 说 ,How shall we respond to Keller's doctrine of the church's mission? 我们要如何回应凯勒的教会的使命的教义呢？ We must reject it for several reasons. 我们必须因为好几个原因几个理由拒绝。Number one, 第一个理由。He fails to establish his case on the base of scripture. 第一，凯勒要用圣经来建立他的论点，在这点上他失败了。Number two, 第二个原因。He focuses too narrowly on the problem of material poverty. 他的注意力是太过的狭窄在于物质上的贫穷的问题。And thereby takes away from a concentration on the deeper spiritual plight of man. 所以呢，他就偏离了那个人的深层的属灵的困境这方面的专注， which is what the church is really to address. 而教会真正要处理的是人的属灵的困境。Number three, 第三个理由。He has misunderstood the Mosaic law. 他误解了摩西时期的律法 and has taught an unbiblical concept of wealth redistribution. 他所教导的关于财富的重新分配的概念呢是不符合圣经的。Number four, 第四个原因。He has failed to observe proper distinctions between the spheres of church and state.And between the Christian and the church members of the body. 凯勒也没有遵守教会和政府之间不同范围的区别，也没有遵守个别基督徒跟教会肢体和身体之间的区别。四个理由。Dr. Naylor is especially concerned that the work of social and cultural transformation canand will divert the resources that a church should use to preach the gospel. Naylor 博士特别的关注用在社会和文化转变的工作上的资源呢，就让教会把这些应该用在宣讲福音的资源就流到别的地方去。He goes on to summarize his conclusions. 他进一步的总结他的结论。Naylor 说 We deny that the church has a dual mission. 我们不承认教会有一种双重的使命。We affirm that 我们承认我们相信 the church 我们承认我们相信 the Christian should exercise love and mercy in all his relationships.基督徒在他所有的人际关系中都要活出爱和怜悯。We distinguish between the commission given to the body and the commission given to the member. 我们要区别给教会的使命和给个别肢体的使命，给身体的使命，肢体的使命。And we distinguish between the church's role and the states. 我们也区别教会要扮演的角色和政府要扮演的角色。下面是第五篇文章。Reverend Richard Holst, H-O-L-S-T, Holst 牧师 ,retired church planter, 一位退休的开拓教会的牧师 ,and chairman of the International Conference of Reformed Churches,他是国际改革中教会的会议的主席。 considers Dr. Keller's methods of scriptural interpretation in his essay. 在他的论文里面考虑到凯勒博士的解释圣经的方法。论文的题目是 Timothy Keller's Hermeneutic, An Example for the Church to Follow。 提摩太·凯勒的释经是否教会要效法的榜样呢？ Reverend Host uses three basic questions to consider Dr. Keller's hermeneutical approach. Host 牧师用三个基本的问题来考虑凯勒博士的释经的进度。第一条问题， Do the interpretations represent the truth that is chiefly taught in that place?我们所做出的解释是否表达了那段经文主要所教导的真理呢？第二个问题， Are the clearer parts of scripture used to interpret it less clear? 我们有没有用比较清楚的经文来解释没那么清楚的经文呢？ And finally, 最后第三条问题，Are the deductions from scripture good and necessary consequences? 我们从经文所做出的推论是否一个很妥当的必须的一个的结果呢？ Given Dr. Keller's influence, 既然凯勒博士具有这么重大的影响力， Reverend Host seeks to determine if Dr. Keller is a good example of Reformed methodology for others to follow. Host 牧师要决定凯勒博士是不是一个很好的榜样，一个改革中的方法论的榜样，让其他人可以跟随的。There are three concerns with Dr. Keller's hermeneutics. According to Reverend Host, 根据 Host 牧师呢，凯勒博士的释经有三方面值得关注的。第一，The use of parables, 使用比喻，就是耶稣的比喻。第二， The use of secondary aspects of passages, 使用经文的次要的层面。第三， And logical fallacies in exegesis, 在解经上逻辑的错误。First, the use of parables. 第一，使用比喻。Host 说，Parables are intended to be ambiguous. 比喻的用意就是意义含糊。Thus, the only safe way to understand a parable is to pay close attention to the inspired interpretation that is usually given in the passage itself and then by clearer texts elsewhere. 因此理解一个比喻的唯一的安全的方法，就是特别注意那段经文本身所提出的神所漠视的解释，还有用其他更加清楚的经文。Reverend Host gives the example of how Dr. Keller uses the parable of the prodigal son. Host 牧师举一个例子，凯勒博士怎么样使用浪子的比喻。 Host 说， The problem is in the very design of the book, The Prodigal God. 问题就是挥霍的上帝这本书的问题就是在它的宗旨本身， which is to use this parable as a lens to understand everything else. 就是要用这个比喻作为一副的眼睛去了解所有其他的事。Even if the result of such an approach was free from error, 就算这个经文所带来的结果是没有错误， Reverend Host explains that the method is itself problematic. Host 牧师解释，这个方法本身就有问题的。他说， One can hardly conceive of a concept more contrary to good hermeneutical procedure, 我们不能想象有一个更加违背正确解经的做法的一个例子。 than to use a parable to define the Christian faith. 就是用一个比喻来为基督教信仰做定义。他说没有更差的解经 的方法了。And thereafter to understand the rest of scripture in this light. 然后呢把整本圣经都从这个比喻的亮光来理解。没有比这个更加更违背好的事情的原则的。Second, 第二 Reverend Host finds Dr. Keller's use of secondary aspects of scriptural passages to be concerning. 第二 Host 牧师看到凯勒博士怎么用圣经经文的次要的层次是值得关注的。The example he gives is, 他所提出的例子是 Dr. Keller's use of the parable of the Good Samaritan. 凯勒博士怎么使用好撒玛利人的比喻 and the discussion with the rich young ruler to say that Jesus is explaining a key part of what it means to be a Christian. 还有就是他怎么讨论到耶稣和少年人的关这个事件来说耶稣在这里是解释做基督的意义的一个很关键性的一部分。It appears that Jesus sees care for the poor as part of the essence of being a Christian. 凯勒说我们看到好像是耶稣认为照顾穷人是做一位基督徒的核心意义的一部分。Reverend Host points out that, Host 牧师指出 that care for the poor is not the focus of either passage. 这两段经文的焦点都不是关注穷人 but is instead a secondary aspect that Dr. Keller has chosen to highlight.乃是经文里面次要的层次而凯勒博士选择了要把它特别的显出 Lastly, 最后 Reverend Host is concerned with the logical fallacies in Dr. Keller's exegesis of certain passages Host 牧师特别关注凯勒博士如何解释某一些的经文里面的逻辑的错误。He uses an example from Dr. Keller's Ministries of Mercy. 他用了凯勒博士那本的书《怜悯事工》里面一个例子 ,where Dr. Keller writes, 凯勒博士是这样写的。凯勒说 ,The kingdom of God is the means for the renewal of the entire world and all of the dimensions of life. 神的国度是整个世界的更新和人生所有不同的层面的更新的方法或者是工具 If this is the ministry of the kingdom 这个假如是天国的事工 to heal all the results of sin in all areas of life 在所有生命的范围里面去医治治疗所有罪所带来的后果Then the church must intentionally use its resources to minister to every circle. 那么呢教会必须要刻意的用它的资源来服侍每一个圈子每一个范围。Reverend Host explains his concern. Host 牧师解释他的关注。The main problem, however,is with the logic of Keller's if-then transition between the future state and his conclusion regarding the church's mission. 但是重要的问题是凯勒的逻辑。就是说假如是这样就这样这种的从将来的状态转移到教会的使命这个结论。Christ will certainly returnOn the last day to make a new heavens and a new earth, in which no trace of the curse remains. 耶稣基督肯定在末日要回来，要造一个新天、新地，在那里没有任何咒诅的痕迹会存留的。 just because we are promised that there will be no curse in the new heavens and new earth, 没有错, 上帝应许我们, 在新天新地没有咒诅。 虽然是如此, this does not mean that, 但是并不意味着, the church's mission is trying to get there now. 并不意味着教会的使命是现在就要达到那种的状态, in contradiction of the scriptures that speak clearly on the matter. 这样就是矛盾了, 圣经清楚的教导。 Reverend Host concludes, Host牧师的结论是, I think the answer would have to be that, 我想我们的回答必须是如此, that Keller is not consistent in adhering to these principles that is explained above. 凯勒对于上面的一些的列出的原则并不是一致的遵守的。凯勒对于上列的原则不是很彻底的遵守。 For this reason, 因为这个缘故呢, we must conclude that his work does not provide us with the best example to follow. 因此我们的结论是, 凯勒的著作并没有给我们一个可以效法的最好的榜样。 下面有第六篇的文章, 是由Dr. Schweitzer, 就是这本书的编者之一所写的, Not quite theistic evolution, 不完全是上帝所指导的进化论。 Does Tim Keller bridge the gap between creation and evolution? 提摩太·凯勒是否在创造论和进化论之间能够跨过这个的鸿沟呢? 这个是第六篇。